Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at
1-800-800-3333. White Sox! White Sox! Go! Go! White
We're
Sox.
Back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
We're glad to have you out here in the... Ryan McGuffey and Bruce Levine, we're in the extra innings portion of Inside the Clubhouse here on 670 The Score. Bruce, getting some extra time today as we take you up to Zach Zaidman's call of the DePaul Blue Demons and the Wichita State Shockers. We were just talking about Luis Robert and his trade candidacy and if the White Sox could actually get what they, I don't know if deserves the right term, but get what they need. Get what they need, what they feel that they need for 1 year of Luis Robert, because he's coming off an extremely sell low season after a very sell high season. Chris Getz joined Mully and Haw yesterday right here on The Score, and he discussed the Luis Robert trade rumors.
You know, a year ago, coming off of the 2023 season, I mean, gosh, close to a 4-5 win player he was, and it was like, all right, are we just scratching the surface here? Unfortunately, you know, he got hurt the second week of the season because he's had a really solid spring training. He looked pretty good the first week. In a multi-home run game, you know, he was spitting on pitches and having good at-bats, and unfortunately, had the hip flexor, injury that took him out for several months. And when he came back, you know, Louis, it was just playing catch-up, and he was putting so much pressure on himself to perform and make up for lost time, and it just snowballs. Baseball's too hard of a game to put undue pressure. But if you smooth out the front end of the year, be really intentional about, all right, we're looking at, you know, a full season here. And, you know, at its floor, just because of the defense and the base running and the power, you know, we're talking about an above average major league player. And that's without really even tapping into the bat consistently. And if he gets a smooth runway with the bat, it's like, all right, now we're kind of back to being that 4-5 win player, if not more. So, yeah, I mean, we got to get it right in the front end, and that's what makes him attractive to other clubs. But you want to make sure you're going about it the right way in terms of capturing, you know, not value for Louis, you know, like, because he, if it makes sense to move him, you do it, but you don't just do it for the sake of doing it because we're talking about a tremendous talent.
That's really good stuff right there from Getz. I mean, if you look at the back of his baseball card, is I love that terminology, but he is a down 1 year, up 1 year, down 1 year, up 1 year, down 1 year player, which tells you maybe this is the upswing. I mean, he was a nearly 4-win player when the White Sox won the division in 21, Bruce, and the 5-win player in 2023.
For people that aren't into 4 or 5 wins, he's just a good ball player all the way around, okay?
You're telling me you're not into it?
I like to talk about the factual parts, not sure. The number.
I get you.
Because when you talk about win, you're breaking down base running, breaking down defense, You know,
yeah.
How much of that goes into that number? It's, you know, it's the old way talking about being a five win player is that he's a star player. Okay, you know, anybody four or five is a star player. Somebody continually at that number, they're all stars. Someone that does it for 15 years, they're a Hall of Famer. So that's what that number means to me. But the reality of can this guy be a difference maker in your lineup every day? I don't think there's any question about it. Here's the best scenario, I think, for Louis Robert. We want to hear yours as well, 312-644-6767. We're here for you until 11:45 before DePaul basketball. I want to see Louis Robert for the first 3 months of 2025 be that star player.
Yeah.
And then make him available on the trade market and do exactly what you did with Crochet. If you don't hear the three players plus that you want for him, because again, he's under contract for 3 years, 2.5 in July. Don't trade him then. You're let him have a complete year.
So they'd have to pick up the team option for 2026.
Fine. Okay. You know, it's $20 million. If he has a great year, you're going to do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What you're saying is if he doesn't, then you should get the optimum amount for him now, right? And take a little less than what you'd get. Someone's going to gamble on him, maybe give you two decent young players for him. To me, I gamble on the high end that he's going to come back, be the superstar. He's already been there, okay? What is preventing him from being there again? Tell me what that is, Ryan. I don't know.
Injury.
Okay, but I mean, he came back and he couldn't hit.
Yeah, he had a horrific second half.
Tell me why he couldn't hit. I don't know.
I think some people called possibly, you know, some people question effort. Sometimes efforts question.
Not in his case.
I agree. When efforts question when performance isn't there, and that's unfair. Guys were getting traded. He wasn't. He wasn't producing. He was playing for a historically bad team. So let's see what Ron thinks. He wants to chime in on Louis Robert Jr. 312-644-6767. What's up, Ron?
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, what's very interesting about Louis Robert, and I looked this up and hope I'm correct, he's the only White Sox player ever to win the Silver Slug Award and a Golden Glove. It lets you know how special he is. But I kind of agree with you, Bruce, that let him play during the spring, 2-3 months, and show that, because the whole thing is whether he's healthy. His potential is obvious, a very great player. So the only way that they're going to get full value is he shows that. Because no matter how good a player is, if they're questioning about their health. But guys, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that wonderful interview that you all did with Dick Allen Jr. last week. And I know it's been a lot of baseball this week, but we haven't had a chance to say congratulations to the savior. You know, y'all show was last Saturday, but we haven't had a chance to say congratulations to the savior of the Chicago White Sox, Dick Allen. But just that interview, Bruce, was just amazing. And it made me so happy, made me even more happier for him to go in after listening to that conversation. So I just had to add that congratulations to the great Dick Allen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ryan. And we were remiss in not talking about it more, but Ryan and I, you know, were ahead of the game talking to Dick Allen Jr. We were happy about that because we got all the information in from him about what type of dad he was, what type of legacy he had in the family, some of the challenges that he had that his family only knew about. So I appreciate it, Ron. Ron's such a great Sox fan, great listener. Appreciate Ron and all of our great listeners as well.
Yeah, and he was right. Louis Robert Jr. is the only White Sox ever to win a Silver Slugger and a Gold Glove. So to your point, Bruce, and to Ron's, and clearly Chris Getz, they're not just going to dangle the carrot out there and take whatever bites. And they shouldn't. And you take the gamble that if he goes out in April again, that's part of the gamble.
Make no mistake about this. Louis Robert does not fit in to their future beyond this year. Nope. Okay, he just does not. The White Sox can be better this year. They can be even decent in 2026, okay?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's decent?
500 team.
Wow. I will take you to Max and Benny's. I said can wherever be. You'd like to go, I will give you.
I said can be.
Okay, okay? I'll give you 72 and 90.
They're not going to suck forever, okay?
So I'll give you 72 and 90.
But here's the key to that being a correct statement, okay? That's not a correct statement right now. Not with what they've got, okay? But Luis Robert can add to that infrastructure of what they're building by being traded at the trade deadline and bring three more players, just like a Crochet did, just like a Cease did. The front office has to be right. They have to be lucky. There's luck involved in this as well. But making more trades like the one that they did yesterday, your luck increases with the volume and the hard work that you and your scouts and your front office do in preparing for these trades, getting the players back that you want. Again, they're not all going to be stars. They're not all going to help you, okay? We know that. But adding to the infrastructure of the White Sox is what it's about. And Luis Robert is a part of that. Make no mistake about it. He's not going to be here in 2 or 3 years. That's not the goal. The goal is get him better, get him back to that star status, and then move him for what is more really good inventory.
Yeah, if he has that type of season, like a 23 type of first half, he could be the most sought after bat at the deadline.
Without question. You know,
and glove. I mean, both.
Right.
Most sought after player.
Plus, you and I have the luxury of being in the locker room all these years and seeing him. I talk to the guy, okay? All he talks about is, I want to be a great player here. I want to help the team win. It might be cliche to you out there listening to it, but we know when guys mean it by how hard they work at their trade. We know by looking in their eye, by watching them with their teammates, this guy wants to be great. I think he was very upset about what has happened to the White Sox, as much as White Sox fans and front office people and people that cover the team over the last few years. He wasn't expecting this. They were on a track to be one of the better teams for the next 4 or 5 years when this all started back in 2020. And, you know, again, the disappointment of players is a very underrated area that I think I do a bad job in. I don't sell that enough.
Yeah.
What the player's real perspective is of whether a team's going good or bad or their expectations.
And that's why prospects are prospects until proven otherwise. I want to get back to Chris Getz because we haven't talked a lot in the last hour and a half or so about the Crochet trade. We had Jim Callis on earlier in the show to give us a little bit more about what the White Sox got from the Red Sox. But let's hear from Chris Getz again yesterday with Mullion Hall on how the trade went down, his feelings about the return, and then I want to talk a little bit about Getz on the backside.
It takes time. You know, a year ago I was talking about all these different ideas, and now, you know, you talk about Will Venable and others in the front office that have come aboard along with coaches and you know, even some free agents, where now we can actually point to some things and while they're around us and see us work together. And, you know, it's much more tangible, you know, from where we were a year ago. But, you know, when you make a decision like moving on from Garrett Crochet, certainly never easy. We're talking about a guy that Arrow, you know, certainly seems to be pointing up, one of the frontline guys, and certainly from a trade standpoint, top of the list for a lot of organizations. But you rewind back where we were a year ago with Garrett Crochet too, right? I mean, a guy that obviously very talented, had some injuries, you know, reliever, and then, you know, we put him as the opening day starter last year, and that's a testament to the last offseason for him and the commitment. You know, the silver lining with a club like ours last year is we were going to be able to provide a runway, and he certainly took advantage of that. And, you know, when you make a move like this, you know, it certainly can change the course of the future. I mean, man, we feel really good about this return. What really led to us getting more comfortable as we're staring at names and doing all this research. We spent so much time on Braden Montgomery because he was the 2024 first-round pick. Mm. He was a, you know, we considered him in number five. Year prior, Kyle Teal, another first-round pick. We spent a lot of time, you know, on him and with him. So from a talent and character standpoint, if you're going to rebuild an organization, really, you know, inject foundational pieces, I mean, gosh, the comfort level knowing that you know, we've been really doing deep dives on those individuals, it just really helped lead to a decision. And then to be able to fill it out, Chase Mydroth, one of the better, you know, minor league performers in baseball, kind of just quietly, you look up and it continues to do it analytically, very strong both defensively and offensively. You look at his on-base numbers and they're absolutely through the roof, but there's versatility and just bat-to-ball skills. So we like that. We need that. And then Wilkerman Gonzalez is a guy that we've been talking about for years and potential deals. It's a big arm. We like this stuff. He's got starter potential and certainly, you know, could land, be an impactful arm in the bullpen someday too, after we exhaust the starting front. So, yeah, I mean, it's a diversified package. Three out of the four pitched or played in the upper double A or above, mm-hmm. and you got an advanced college bat in Braden Montgomery. So, yeah, we're in a much better place than we were a couple days ago. And, yeah, I mean, it's a momentum builder. You know, the feedback from around the industry has been really positive. And, you know, now it's a matter of developing these guys and having them enter into the major league under the major league club at the appropriate time and support these guys the best we can.
Man, Chris Getz seems like a guy who got an early Christmas present to me, Bruce.
Well, they've been working hard on it. You know, they were, you think about preparation for all 29 teams with your scouts in front office, metrics people to analyze what players they knew what they wanted from each team, but it took a lot of work to define who those people were and how many they wanted. They turned down countless trades of getting just two players back that they thought could be contributors. Okay, Philadelphia was knocking at that door for a long time from last July all the way through till they probably dropped out a couple weeks before this deal was made because they didn't have enough to satisfy the White Sox. Okay, they weren't offering enough young cachet players with 6 years of contract control. That was the key. I mean, you heard Alex Baum's name, yeah, and other major leaguers. They don't want major leaguers, nope. Okay? Maybe they would take a major leaguer that has 5 years of contract.
Maybe like Abreu from Boston. That right. didn't work. He right. only played right. two big league seasons.
They know where they're at. They know that it's going to take 2 to 3 years to be competitive, and they're not going to waste a player's service time with them, you know, building up to the point of, hey, we're good now, but by the way, we're going to have to trade you
yeah.
now.
Yeah, right.
You know, you
or
don't
pay you.
You. Right. Well, I mean, you can't always do that if a guy turns out to be a star. But the reality is that they knew where they were at. the interesting thing, our friend Scott Merkin does such a great job in MLB.com. Talked to Crochet, and Crochet admitted to him that there was never any contract talks between the White Sox and the front office for an extension. And he also told Scott that he thought this was a good trade for them where they're at right now. So I thought that was really good reporting by Scott, and it's good information that Crochet, from a baseball perspective, and you got to know Crochet as well as I did the last few years, a terrific individual and the last guy you want to trade as far as his leadership in the clubhouse, his ability to look at his career and wanting to be great. I mean, ideally you keep him forever, but reality is that he knew this wasn't the place for him to be. He knew that the best deal for him and the White Sox was to be traded.
Some people might not like to hear that there was no contract talks, but let me paint you this picture. Let's say it's a 5-year deal for Garrett Crochet. I, unlike you, I don't think they'll be competitive until at least 27. I don't. So that's 3 seasons of a 5-year deal with Garrett Crochet. If you're buying out, maybe you buy out some of those arb years, okay? Now you're back to where you started. An older Garrett Crochet with 2 years of control. You're not getting the return. And go back to 8 years ago in the Chris Sale trade. I don't think, I brought this up to a few people. I would love to hear Jim. I'm going to talk to Jim offline about it. But I don't think today, the way the game has evolved and people care about prospects, that the Chris Sale trade happens for the number one prospect in baseball. I don't. I don't know what you think, but this was about getting two top 55 players in return. Two. Not one and a couple flyers. Not one and a position player that's ready to play, as you said, at the big league level. This is, or that's already playing at the big league level. The White Sox needed bats, and they needed controllable bats, and they needed really good prospect status bats. And I don't think fairly you can judge a trade like this for 2 years, maybe three, until you see what the return truly is.
Yeah, but you have to do it, Ryan.
Why? Boston, it's an A.
Because Crochet is going to be a free agent in 2 years.
No, I'm saying you have to trade. No. This was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I'm saying this is
why. You thought Sale was not.
I thought Sale was. I thought Sale was a no-brainer, too, because the White Sox did.
Okay, good.
I'm just saying I don't think today people are like, why didn't they try to get the top? They have two in the top 10. That's not how it works anymore. Trying to get the number one prospect in baseball.
I think when you look at prospects, Ryan, you look at Teal. He's going to be a top catcher in our organization. If we have another top catcher, which is the other kid that they're bringing along,
yep.
He can play. He can be Craig Biggio. He can move to second. He can move to center. He's that type of baseball athlete. Okay, he's going to hit. He's got a potentially terrific bat. Okay, I think you were on there with me talking to him the other day, and. You know this guy, he has good health, he wants it bad. Yeah. Okay, so those are, you know, I mean, they're intangibles, they're not really essential. People want to know if he's got enough talent, he can play at the big league level. They don't want to know too much in depth about the individual. But I will tell you this, everybody who, on the Chris Sale trade, everybody thought that the White Sox were getting the best young hitter in baseball.
No doubt.
Okay. And that included the Boston people who I talked to after the trade, and the top scout for them at that time. He said, look, we didn't want to give him up. We kept the third baseman instead.
Evers.
We were not going to use him. They turned out to be right about that. Yep. But on top of that, the reality is there was no reason why this guy shouldn't have been a better player. He was in 2019, he was a top five player in baseball. Why wasn't he the rest of the time? Tell me, injury from COVID on.
We don't have enough time on that one.
From 2020 on, when he got really bad COVID, he's never the same player again.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that was it or not. All I can tell you is body language wise, everybody hated watching Mancata play because he never showed the desire that we knew he had inside. It never came out. He was one of the least favorite people to watch out there for most White Sox fans.
One of the more infuriating players I think I've ever, that the span of his career arc, from the standing ovation for his first at bat, which was a walk, standing ovation, to the please get this guy off my roster at the end was something. All right, time to talk Cubs. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about trade potential for the Cubs as Cody Bellinger and Seiya Suzuki both find themselves in the rumor mill. Are both going to be a Cub? Are both going to be gone? Will it be one or the other? We'll dissect that and more. We're taking you up to DePaul basketball here on Inside the Clubhouse. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey. This is 670.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
drilled, left center field, way back, and that one is gone. Seiya Suzuki crushes one.
Well, I think he would just prefer not to be a full-time DH at this stage in his career, given that, you know, he's been a high-performing outfielder in the past in his career overall. So I think that's where he's coming from.
That was Joel Wolf with Bruce down in Dallas at the winter meetings discussing Seiya Suzuki's preference not to be a DH as the Cubs try to figure out if they move him, do they move Cody, do they move both?
On this team right now, he's so far the DH. You know, I mean, where would he be fitting into the outfield at this point? And not only that, his defensive metrics, just forget about the metrics, just the eye test wasn't passed last year as an outfielder for Craig Counsell, who found another place for him being the full-time DH. And he was tremendously successful from the time in August when he became full-time DH on, you know, just slug in the 900s, batted 325. So he can't say, well, I couldn't adjust to it. That wasn't a part of it. So he's got to get traded here, okay, or Bellinger's got to get traded, one or the other. There is an economic element to this that's important. The Cubs need some flexibility in their payroll so that they can continue to add a starting pitcher right now, a bullpen guy. The bullpen guy might have to come as a free agent, might cost you $15 million a year for a Kirby Yates. You know, that, you know, he's out there, three or four teams looking at him, you know, a power arm as a closer. So they're not done yet. They're up to their knees in talking to the Yankees about getting a good player, possibly a pitcher back for Bellinger. They're talking to the Giants about Bellinger. They have a tremendous amount of more work to do to be that championship-level team they want to be going into spring training.
He was 32 points higher as a batting average, almost 40 points higher as on-base percentage, and 21 points higher OPS as a DH. He handled the position well. He did well as a right fielder, but as you just said, Kyle Tucker, Pete Crow Armstrong, Ian Happ. Tell me where Seiya fits in.
He doesn't. Plus, he changed his body, okay? They wanted more slug from him. To his credit, he worked hard. He got stronger, but the body changed, okay? He's been subject to obliques, okay? 2 years in a row where he's missed more than 30 games, okay? That's also another consideration. Same thing with Bellinger. He missed exactly 30 games 2 years in a row for the Cubs, okay? Having a healthy player out there, you can't always predict, but when you see that they haven't been, you know, that's a red flag for you. Look, they're good, productive players. Let's move them. I wouldn't be shocked if they move both of them if they can.
Who's more attractive to you?
Well, Bellinger, because he plays three positions at a high caliber, okay, and he's got more power than Suzuki does. So at his best, he's a 30 home run hitter, plays gold glove first base, above average center field, above average right field. Okay. It's a more productive player.
Suzuki's owed $38 million. He's making $19 million. If you acquired him, you're taking on 2 years of a contract. Obviously, we know with Belly, there's player options and a $5 million buyout. That's why, for those of you asking, it's saying it's not 32 and a half. It is, because you have to put on that $5 million buyout. So it's either $32.5 million player or $38 million player, and there's a year apart.
It's more than 32 because he can opt in on the 2026 season. That's another 25. So, again, the economics do come into play. I know people don't like to hear it about the Cubs, that they want to stay at a certain level. You know, I can't do anything about it other than report what I know. Okay, that's it.
I want to ask you this question. I know the answer, I think. And the 219 says, why does Suzuki need to get traded? Just tell him he's a DH. Tough. Deal with it.
You should have more flexibility in your DH role than him, okay? If guys are coming back from injury, if guys need days off, it's a better rotating position than a full-time position for a right-handed hitter who hits 20 home runs a year. I'm not diminishing what he does. The Cubs, if they trade Suzuki, they're going to be down on right-handed pop. You know, what can you project for them right-handed if he's gone at this point? I mean, is Swanson coming back to being, you know, the more productive right-handed hitter? Is Horner going to take a step up? Is Horner even going to be on the team? Is he getting traded? You know, there's a lot of moving parts still for the Chicago Cubs as we approach the holiday season.
We appreciate all the calls and texts throughout the show. Let's squeeze one more call in here before Bruce and I hand it over to DePaul Basketball. Robert in Wisconsin wants to talk about Cody Bellinger. What's up, Robert?
Yeah, I was wondering why the Phillies haven't been mentioned as a possible team. I was looking at their depth chart. Right now they have some guy named Rojas playing center field for them and batting ninth. I would figure Dave Dombrowski has to go all in this year with the age of the players that he has. The Phillies would seem like a great spot for Cody to go and fill in as the center fielder and give them one more chance at making a run towards the playoffs again and the World Series title.
That's not a bad call. I mean, I think that's a good call. Dombrowski's there to win a World Series the next 2 years. After that, I won't say he doesn't care, but he's about winning World Series and walking off into the sunset and going into the Hall of Fame as one of the great front office people in the game's history. That's all he cares about. So that's adding offense to them, yes, you know, absolutely. But here he was trying his best to get one of the top pitchers in the game in Crochet as well. So,
well, the Bellinger trade might be a lot more feasible for them than the Crochet trade.
It might, but, you know, solidifying it. And then, you know, for a team that's not afraid to spend like Philadelphia, $32.5 million, you know, you have to define the production. What type of production can you guarantee from Bellinger in a healthy season? Is he going to be 25? Is it going to be 30? Is he going to be driving in 80, 90, 100 runs? He's going to provide you with – he can't play first. They already have a first baseman. So he's either your center fielder or your right fielder. They have to trade Castellanos first before they can bring in another outfielder.
Yeah, and they tried to deal him. I saw to the Phillies. They made a deal that included, I believe, Castellanos and another veteran. Yeah,
and Schwarber is going into his walk year again. So
the best, I will say this, they're not afraid to add money in Philadelphia. John Middleton is that owner. When someone asked him about what about your generational wealth and your great-great-grandkids, he responded with, I'm not going to know my great-great-grandkids. I think it's the comment of the year. It's what a lot of people want their owners to be out there saying. Steve Cohen is one of those guys. But you know what? It's Bruce fights me all the time about spending money guarantees nothing. And that's a fact.
Watch the Cubs this week. They're going to get a pitcher. Bellinger might be on the move to the Yankees. We'll keep our eye on all that. People can follow me on Twitter, MLB Bruce Levine on the website, or write about the Cubs and Sox at 670score.com. Ryan, have a great week.
You too, my friend. I know there's going to be moves. You're going to be all over them. We thank Jim Callis. We thank Pat Hughes. We thank Steve Sparks. We thank Robbie behind the glass, who's the king of this show, and all of you for participating both on the text line and the phone line. Bruce and I will be back to dissect the multiple Cubs moves that are coming next week. That's right. I said multiple. So did he. For Bruce Levine, I'm Ryan McGuffey. For Robbie, this has been Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. DePaul Basketball is next.